We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Well, Rocket can. You could always go to Twitter, at Zach Gelb, where you could find our poll question for today, also at CBS Sports Radio. And the poll question today simply reads this. Clemson football this year will be winning it all, make the playoff, miss the playoff. 79% say miss the playoff. 18% say make the playoff. 3% say winning it all. I think Clemson is going to be on the outside looking in come college football playoff time. Offensive line, problematic against Georgia Tech. Wide receivers dropping the ball up against Georgia Tech. And DJ Uiagalelei not looking like an improved quarterback from a year ago, no matter what Clemson tries to tell you and tries to sell you. Their defense is championship caliber. Offensively, there's a lot of problems, and we'll see how much longer Dabo Swinney, I think he's going to have a long leash here, but how much longer Dabo's going to allow DJ Uiagalelei to play, knowing that there's other issues on his offense, or are you going to go to the guy in Cade Klubnik, who is a five-star quarterback and is someone that has not played extensive time yet. We did see him have one drive up against Georgia Tech and go for a touchdown, and he was very efficient marching the ball down the field. But when will you finally make the call that we're going to tell DJ to hit the bench and we're going to go to Cade Klubnik? The next few weeks, the next two games, you have two cupcake games. But after that, you get an uptick in competition a little bit with NC State and then also Wake Forest as well. Talking about Twitter, you can find our poll question today. Hickey, this is why I love Twitter. So about a month ago, I went down to the Borgata in Atlantic City and I did an appearance on Angelo Cataldi's show. Angelo is going to be hosting for one more football season, legendary voice, been hosting Morning Drive in Philadelphia for, I think, more than 30 years, and I interned for Angelo. So Angelo invited me down, and I hosted two segments of his show. Now, at the time, he was very upset with Nick Sirianni, the head football coach, because on the first day of training camp, I think they had like a 90-minute practice. And Angelo hated that, and it was in shorts and a T-shirt. It was only 90 minutes. He didn't really think that the practice was satisfactory to the level that the way that NFL team should be operating. There's all these restrictions and all these rules with training camp practices. So training camp's not what it once was. But Angelo thought that the practice was basically a slap you know what type of practice. So I said to Angelo, who was freaking out over the first matchup of the season against the Lions, that if the Philadelphia Eagles lose to the Lions week one, because that day, even though I love Angelo, I was telling him it's not a big deal. It's training camp. These are the way these training camp practices work. So I made a bet with him, and I said, if the Eagles lose week one, I will drive down to Philadelphia at some point throughout the football season, and I will hand deliver you a meal from one of their sponsors in Del Frisco's. When I was an intern there, they got Del Frisco's catering all the time. But I will buy him a meal from Del Frisco's if the Eagles lose the Lions, because I don't think the Eagles are going to lose the Lions. So I repurposed that clip today. This was a response that I just got from this guy, Curtis Chase, on Twitter. You fat bastard, always looking for a free meal. Now, Ryan, if you're going to call me a fat bastard, you would think that person calling me a fat bastard would be in impeccable shape, would be buff like you. How much do you weigh? What are you, like a buck 75?
Yeah.
Buck 75. How tall are you? 6 foot?
5'11".
5'11"? Okay, that's modest. At least you could have just lied and said 6 foot. So you're 6 foot, a buck 75, in good shape. Now, I don't think I'm in bad shape. 3-4 years ago, I was in bad shape. Then I lost 70 pounds, and I go on elliptical, and I could ride the elliptical for some days up to 2 hours, and at a bare minimum on that elliptical, 4 or 5 days a week for an hour a day. So I go to this guy's profile picture, Curtis Chase. The guy's a fat slob, and he's calling me a fat bastard? That is Twitter, basically, just summarized in one tweet. And I looked at a few more of these guys' pictures, and he needs to hit the gym before he calls anyone else a fat bastard. Calling me a fat bastard.
Are you sure he's talking to you?
He's got to be.
You're not the one getting a free meal.
You fat bastard always looking for, but Angela's not fat.
But Angelo's the one getting a free meal.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's not like you looking for a handout or something like that. This is you saying, right, unless I'm wrong, but especially the way you headline the clip, Mm-hmm. I will go down there and buy the food.
That's why I was confused as well.
If the Eagles lost. You're not saying, oh, if the Eagles win week one, you know, you owe me a steak.
But Angelo's not on Twitter.
Okay.
Well, he's just tweeting it to me. That's why it's confusing.
You tag WIP Morning, so maybe he thinks that he'll see it that way. You got to realize, it's Twitter. People aren't putting two and two together sometimes.
People are stupid on Twitter.
So it's not like they're like, oh, he's not on Twitter, so he's not going to see it, so I'm not going to respond. It's, oh, no, I'm in the moment. Screw this guy. Oh, it's Angelo being Angelo again. I have no idea.
So my response of, I think I'm in better shape than you, judging by your profile picture, maybe I should delete is what you're saying? Do a little quick delete?
Maybe.
Okay.
Just from the sense of I'm not sure that he's talking to you, per se.
Okay, but still, the point is still there. If he's calling Angelo a fat bastard, which is not the case. Like, Angelo is a big man, but I would not call Angelo fat. He's like 6'4", and for a guy that's 72, is in good shape. But I wouldn't call Angelo fat. And this guy is not in the best shape of his life. If you look at his profile picture, or if you just do a quick search of him, he's got a turkey neck, this guy. Gobble, gobble.
People don't look in the mirror. Or they see what they want to see. Six pack and ripped arms.
Yeah, he's in workout clothes. The guy's in a cutoff shirt, but I would not say that this guy has any right to call someone fat. Like, I would not call someone fat, and I don't think I'm fat, and I'm a big man, but I wouldn't call myself fat right now. There was a time where, oh, yeah, I was definitely fat. But if you're going to go call someone fat, I think you need to be in better shape if you're this guy that's creeping into my DMs. That's just me. Now, you're not really, I guess, well-versed in the rules of being able to call someone fat, because no one's ever probably called you fat. So you're a nice person. You probably don't call people
fat. Also, I feel like fat bastard is more funny than, like, hurtful. Now,
yeah,
if you said,
I guess you're right.
Fat and another word that starts with an F, now that just escalates the situation. Yeah. Now it's you know,
or
smartful.
Or like that sandwich at Penn State.
Right.
The fat bitch.
Yeah, there are definitely certain ways to say, you know, words after fat that could definitely mean different meanings. I'd say fat bastard is more like, oh, you're funny, you fat bastard, like in a good sense, more than a meanful.
Now, do you remember what's on that fat bitch sandwich at Penn
State?
This
is like,
it's
I didn't go up to like freshman
with
or
the
sophomore
mozzarella
year.
Stick. Yeah,
fries.
You're a fat bitch if you order that sandwich. There's no doubt about that. All right, we got Ralph Facchiano coming up in a few moments. We got to do the final first and goal of the year, previewing all 32 teams. Giants somehow, I would say, saved the best for last, but there's no way you can make the argument they're going to be the best. That's just the way that the cookie did crumble. But let's hit up the news brief right now. I'll get you the biggest stories of the day with some audio. Let's go.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
It was not pretty for the Clemson offense. Yes, they won 41-10, but they didn't score a single point in the first quarter. They only had 14 points at halftime, and one was off an interception, pretty much. That gave them favorable field position. This was a sloppy game all around for the Clemson offense, but Dabo Swinney still praising his quarterback, DJ Uiagalelei.
There's nobody in America that had more eyes on him tonight than our quarterback, and I love how he responded. He led. He made some huge plays for us. I think you saw DJ do things tonight that, you know, we needed to see and that he didn't do last year. Man, he made a lot of plays with his legs. He showed great leadership, great moxie.
Yeah, that's a no for me, dog. Nothing moved the needle from what I saw from DJ last night on Monday night to wrap up week one of the college football season. He did not thoroughly impress me. I know his offensive line was horrible, I know the receivers were horrible, but I didn't really see a great quarterback when I was watching him up against Georgia Tech. Billy Napier, he had great quarterback play from Anthony Richardson. And Billy Napier says Anthony Richardson has thrived under pressure so far.
I mean, this kid's had the spotlight on him for a long time. You may worry that would affect him, right? But I think it's made him a better person, right? I think he, being from Gainesville, I think he realizes the platform and the opportunity that, you know, and the example that he can set.
We talk about the Clemson quarterback situation, where it's DJ Uiagalelei maybe getting eventually replaced by Cade Klubnik. Cade McNamara, your time is coming to a close. Now, you won a Big Ten championship last year. Don't ever take that away from you. But J.J. McCarthy's a better quarterback. You saw that in glimpses up against Colorado State. Bad pick early by Cade McNamara. But Cade McNamara says he's surprised that the QB competition is carrying into the season.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's pretty unusual. It was kind of a thing that I wasn't expecting by the end of camp. You know, I thought I had my best camp. I thought I put myself in a good position. And that was just a decision that coach went with.
It's very clear. You have three cupcakes to start off the year. You won the Big Ten championship. If the coach can't outright name you the starter before the season starts, that means he's definitely thinking about making a change, and it's just inevitable that J.J. McCarthy will take over this team. Let's hear from Jim Harbaugh. He says he's likely going to let both quarterbacks play and see what happens.
I don't feel like I have to manage it. It's just they're both tremendous competitors, and I mean, both are warriors. I don't feel like I got to manage anything. I just got to let them go out there and compete and do what they do.
Let's go to maybe the biggest game of the weekend, or one of the bigger games of the weekend. Texas up against Alabama. Coach Sark says Saturday's game against Alabama won't have a major impact on the program either way. Yeah, come on, Coach.
I think one of the biggest mistakes people make is like, this is going to be the game that's going to define our program. It might not. I'm not that concerned about it. I'm more concerned about just the way we play the game. You know, said all along, my goal is to be in Dallas December 3rd. Right, this game has no impact on that. Right, it'd be great. It's an awesome opponent. I want to play really well. I want to make sure that our guys play our style of football, our brand of football, and do it the way that I know we're capable of doing it.
Well, it's not a Big 12 game, but if you beat Alabama, that could be the difference of you making or missing the college football playoff, or getting to a Big 12 championship. I know it's in conference, but that does matter for your season, Ryan. And how many teams can beat Alabama this year? Maybe none.
I actually get what Sark is saying, and I would agree. Here's,
well, he's talking about in conference getting the Big 12 championship.
Right. But in a different sense, I'll spin it this way. Last year, A&M beats Alabama, right? That was, you know, hold up Jimbo Fisher comments. They beat Alabama. But they also lost four of the games. Not that Alabama win is meaningless per se, but when you beat number one and you don't capitalize because you lose four other games, it's kind of like, oh, we beat Alabama, but we didn't accomplish any of our goals. I kind of get what Sark is saying. If they beat Alabama, right?
But if they beat Alabama, doesn't that totally improve the confidence of that team?
It does, but if they lose three games in conference and they're sitting there 9-3 or 8-4, it's like, yeah, you beat Alabama, great, but then you didn't follow it up and you lost to Kansas State or Iowa State. It's like, oh.
Can we just be honest here? He's basically saying, yeah, even if this year doesn't go the way that we want it to go and Quinn Ewers doesn't play well, we got Arch Manning coming in. So
he's no dummy.
And if Quinn doesn't work out, I got Arch. If, let's just say, Quinn plays great, we can maybe push Arch back a year.
Well, so what if you said this is the biggest game in the program? You know, my entire tenure is going to be based
on it.
It's
a huge game,
though.
They
lose 55-10, and you got to, like, it's, you got to fire Sark.
Do you think most Texas fans are going into this game saying, yeah, it's not that big of a game?
Oh, no.
It's a huge game.
Massive game.
Talking about big game, Brian Kelly's first game with the LSU Tigers, and maybe Ed Orgeron should have been coaching, because Brian Kelly's team, they lost to Mike Norvell in Florida State. Brian Kelly on the biggest lesson learned from the week one loss.
What we learned is we've got to coach better. I mean, we've got to have our kids coached in a manner where they're ready, and I'm accountable for that. And we have to have them tackling better, executing better in all phases.
Let's hear what the halftime speech was. What did Brian Kelly tell his team at halftime, courtesy of ESPN?
But you're only down by four. What was your message?
We can't play any worse than that, I don't think. I mean, it's my first game. Maybe we can.
Down 7-3 at halftime. Yeah, we couldn't play any worse than that. Man, LSU was unprepared. They were sloppy. Whew, yikes. Mike Tomlin on why he decided that Mitch Trubisky, or as I like to call him, Mitch Trubisky, was named the starting quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mitch Trubisky is our starting quarterback and our captain. Man, we're just really comfortable with what Mitch has shown us. He's a guy that came to us with franchise quarterback experience, if you will. He's comfortable in those shoes. He's been the focal point of a football team and an organization before.
Yeah, he has franchise quarterback experience, but he failed. He was asked to be a franchise quarterback, and the Bears moved on for him. Now, the Bears are a horribly run organization, but it's not like Mitch Trubisky did a great job. I don't see the upside going to Trubisky. I would have started Kenny Pickett. Trubisky played fine in the preseason, fine in training camp, but he didn't find a way to clearly make it above head and shoulders and leaps and boundaries why you need to go with them. I would just go to the future and fast forward to Kenny Pickett right now. But I did see this announced yesterday on the depth chart. It was originally Mitch Trubisky won. And I go, okay, Pickett didn't win the job, but he's got to be the second quarterback. And then it was Mason Rudolph, too. And I'm like, what the bleep? They're putting Kenny Pickett at three? And then Mike Tomlin said there was a formatting error. Yeah, right.
It was a clerical error, you know? That's how the depth chart was listed at the start of training camp. So the cut and paste component was the cut and paste component. I know you were hoping for a little bit more colorful explanation, but it is what it is. That's what happened.
I rolled my eyes at that. With how detail-oriented they are and how extensive Mike Tomlin is. You ask Mike Tomlin what he had for breakfast, he'll give you a minute answer and he'll have the most details that you ever hear. For him to try to sell us that it was an error, Ryan, and they copied and pasted, that sounds like BS to me.
Especially when it took a full day to either realize and or change. It's a lot of time. People are panicking.
Yeah, that's just absolutely brutal. Ben Roethlisberger says Mitch Trubisky should start over Kenny Pickett. This is on Ben's new podcast, Footballin', with Ben Roethlisberger.
In my opinion, I think Mitchell Trubisky is the starter. And he should start. I think he's a veteran. He's been around for a while. He gives you, in my opinion, the best chance to win right now.
Sure.
But I think Kenny has done a great job. And I would say it's about almost all rookie quarterbacks. It benefits you to sit behind a veteran for a little bit of time.
I wonder if Ben likes Kenny Pickett. Is this maybe Ben? Yeah, I'll say Trubisky because I know he's going to stink. And then maybe he'll make them miss me a little bit long, you know, a little bit more in Pittsburgh since it didn't end the way that Ben wanted to end, even though it was time for Big Ben to end his career.
And it sounds like he wasn't exactly maybe ready to retire or, yeah, kind of was pushed out a little bit. Maybe.
Yeah, like, for revenge. Example, if I was pushed out of this time slot on CBS Sports Radio and someone that I had no connection with took over, I'm not rooting for that person to fail, but I'm not rooting for that person to succeed and do better than me. That's just the way that it goes. I think that's natural. I think if we're being honest with people, anyone would admit that. And finally, here's Jerry Jones and his internal optimism for this season, 105.3 The Fan.
I have to believe 1-1 is 3. I can't operate where 1-1 is 2.
What?
Now, we all know it is, physically. But the 3 is where you have to go. Now, you have to have optimism to operate out in that world and commit and do things when you got to count on 1-1 being 3. And I'm not trying to play games, but that's where the biggest payoffs are, is out there. If it's there for everybody to grab at 1-1 is 2. So here you go.
I know we got to get to Ralph, but I just got this tweet from Adam Ritchie 1999, how he started this segment. He said, Zach, Hot Take Hickey is amazing at diffusing situations. You were heated. He just walked you back off the plank like that. A producer with multiple skills, ultimate utility man. Can you explain that ultimate utility man? What the heck Jerry Jones is just saying? Because I got nothing.
Yeah, I got nothing.
This may have been more bizarre than when you're in the forest and you cut your hand, the liberal arts degree, the master's degree, to patch up the cut on your hand. I have 1-1 and 3 and 1 and what?
She's in the Cowboys suck. Like, in order for them to win a Super Bowl, 1-1 has to equal 3 in the world he's living in?
Well, that's the – he basically, the way I interpreted the start, the only thing I had, and then he just kind of went off the rails, was even if I don't believe, I have to believe because I'm only getting older. I'm either going to die soon or we'll see if we'll win it eventually one of these years. Oh, yeah, yeah. Ralph Vacchiano, previews of the Giants next.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. NFL season is inching closer and closer. Who are the contenders and who are the pretenders? We have 4 downs to figure out your team's future. It's time now for First and Goal on the Zach Gelb Show.
The last team for First and Goal. After this segment, we'll do all 32 teams. I don't know why we saved the Giants for last, but that's just the way that this went down this year. We welcome in Ralph Vacchiano right now. He's an NFC East reporter for Fox Sports, covers all the teams inside that division, and for many years did work at SNY covering both the Jets and the Giants. Ralph, first off, congratulations on the new gig. Thanks so much for jumping on with us.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, and I'm happy to come on anytime.
All right, so I got to start you off with Saquon Barkley. It's always weird to just ask you what to expect out of Saquon because he hasn't been healthy. It kind of feels like Christian McCaffrey the last 2 years when people ask that about the Carolina Panthers running back for this season. But what are your expectations for Saquon this year?
Well, I mean, it is all about the health, right? You know, I think that he's far enough now removed from his torn ACL that he is probably back to 100%. You know, he's still really young, and guys can recover from that and be what they were. So, you know, all things being equal, I could see him having the kind of season he had as a rookie. I think they're going to really use him in the passing game a lot. I think the offensive line is at least a little bit better than it's been. So all of that, to me, means, you know, you're looking at a top feature back, a guy who's going to rush for 1,000 yards. I mean, I think they'll limit his carries and wear and tear a little bit, but, you know, he could have 70, 80 catches and another, you know, 600-700 yards there. But I say that, and I've probably thought that at least two of the last three seasons, and, you know, he didn't get through many games. So, you know, I don't know. I've got to see it to believe it. I think if he's healthy, he can be as good as anybody in the league. But I wouldn't draft him in the first round of my fantasy league. Let's put it that way. I do not. I just don't feel like you can trust after 3 years of injuries that he won't add another one to it.
When I watch Saquon Barkley play and when he gets on the field, the first thought is, what happens if the Giants would have drafted Josh Allen or if they would have drafted Lamar Jackson? Now, hindsight is 20-20. We know Baker was the first pick in that draft, and then Sam Darnold did go number three. Saquon went at two. Josh Rosen's been on 7,000 teams. Did you ever get a sense if the Giants were close on taking a quarterback that year, and if so, who they would have drafted?
No, because I think for a couple of reasons. I think that Dave Gettleman at the time, and obviously this won't make Giants fans happy, I don't think he liked any of the quarterbacks that were coming out. I think he, you know, was looking for one where he really, really had a conviction on him and thought, you know, this is a guy that's going to be a star, and he didn't feel that way about any of them. I don't think from talking to people in the organization that anybody really had that kind of a conviction on anyone. I think that they were split. You know, I think the coaching staff liked Josh Allen. I think there were people in the front office who liked Baker Mayfield, others who liked Sam Darnold. And I think if you're the general manager and you can't get a consensus on such an important position among, you know, your people, that's a hard thing to pull the trigger on. I also think, you know, they were looking a year ahead and thinking that, you know, Justin Hebert might be a guy that they could go after. They really liked him, you know, but obviously that didn't work out. Yeah, if he had come out that year, things might have been different, but it, you know, just wasn't the case for the Giants. And, you know, with the non-consensus on the quarterbacks and with the way that Dave Gettleman fell in love with Saquon Barkley, I don't think it was really, you know, I'm sure it was a discussion, but I don't think it was really a thought as it got closer to the draft.
Let's get to the next down. Ralph Vacchiano here with us. My expectation, I know they didn't pick up the fifth-year option, that this is Daniel Jones's final year with the Giants. Is that the same way that you're seeing this?
I don't know. I think it's his final chance to prove that he deserves more. You know, I think he is a good quarterback when he is healthy, when he's got protection. I think he just has not had much of a chance the last few years. The offensive line has been so, so bad. He has not had good, reliable receivers. He hasn't had Saquon Barkley there. You know, I think you put a lot of quarterbacks behind that offensive line and take away all the weapons that he lost, and a lot of quarterbacks would struggle. So, you know, I think he's got a chance to show them that they, you know, they can do something with him in a better offense than the one that Jason Garrett ran. You know, he's still kind of got the same cast of characters around him, so I don't know that that's going to be much of an improvement. But, you know, whether he gets the franchise tag, whether, you know, they decide to stick with him another year, I think probably if he struggles, they're going to move on as quickly as possible because that probably means they'll be drafting way up. I think if he has a mediocre year and they're sitting in the middle of the draft, it gets a little dicey because who knows if there'll be a quarterback they like down at 15 or 17 or something like that. So, you know, there's a chance that he could be back, but, you know, it's all up to him. He's really got a lot to prove.
What's going on with Kenny Galladay right now, Ralph?
That's a good question.
Because it looks like this is a guy that just got paid, and then the guy that was in Detroit, he's non-existent anymore.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I don't know where his head is at, and you know, if he did just get paid and start mailing it in. I think it's been a lot of injury issues. You know, he was a guy who was hurt in Detroit his last year, and you know, one of Dave Gettleman's isms that he you know, forgot in this case was hurt guys get hurt. And you know, he was getting up there in years for a receiver. He got hurt. He came back the next year. He had some other, you know, some minor issues last year. Now it turns out that he had some kind of procedure during the off season, right before training camp began. So he's been slow all of camp. If he's healthy, he'll be a good target for Daniel Jones. But you know, like a lot of guys on that roster, I'm not so sure. I believe he's healthy. I don't know that he will be healthy. You know, and if he is. You know, I don't know that there's, you know, Sterling Shepard and Kadarius Toney at this stage of their careers might be better than Kenny Golladay. So, you know, I don't know that he's ever really going to live up to that $72 million contract, because he certainly hasn't so far.
Let's get to the next down. New coach, new GM. You've been there before with the Giants. What do you like so far of Brian Daboll and Joe Shane?
Been there many, many, many times. You know, I like the fact that they're not pretending like they're in a good situation. They're not, you know, talking about trying to win on the fly and whatever. You know, Joe Shane has been incredibly honest from the start about, I got a mess to clean up. Maybe he didn't put it that way, but, you know, he's like, the salary cap is what it is. We got to fix that before we can go out and start to add players. You know, I think they're honest that this is a little bit of a long haul. They don't have a Super Bowl team. They couldn't add any pieces last year. They need to figure out their quarterback and need to figure out what, you know, what's going to happen with Saquon Barkley. So, you know, they're approaching it the right way. They did what they could this year. They didn't do anything stupid with contracts, restructuring them just so they could squeeze in one or two more guys. They restructured a few, but not a ton. You know, they're playing the long game here, and I like that. And I think, you know, Daboll, from what I could tell, the players like him. They think he's a real guy, you know, real approachable and friendly and all that stuff. We'll know for sure how he handles adversity, and there should be a lot of that this season.
The thing I liked right away is that they got Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal. And you're right, they didn't have to go make a move right now to go win and go try to reach on one of these quarterbacks. Only won one in the first round. Go fix the offensive line and go get a pass rush again. I know Thibodeau may not play this week, but Thibodeau and Neal, to me, were two just excellent draft picks.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's often hard to screw them up when you're that high. But, you know, they were big positions of need. They didn't mess around and say, you know, let's outthink ourselves here. And, you know, what I particularly liked about the Thibodeau pick is he was, for months, the number one pass rusher in the draft. And then there were questions about his character. And Joe Shane didn't sit there and say, you know, I don't know about this guy. I'm hearing the same things. He went all the way out to Oregon, which I know a lot of general managers would not do, and met with the guy and spent time with him and made up his own mind. Didn't rely on scouting reports, said, I'm going to figure out what this guy is all about, and made the decision on his own. And good for him doing that, because, you know, a lot of GMs would have sent a lieutenant or a scout and got a secondhand report or just believed the nonsense floating around and potentially missed out on a great player.
Let's get to the final down. Ralph Acciano here with us. So we have games this week. We have a game coming up on Thursday, but for the Giants, they go up against the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Tennessee is an interesting team. Ryan Tannehill still their quarterback. We know Derrick Henry's a stud. No more A.J. Brown. They have an excellent coach in Mike Vrabel. How do you think this game plays on out?
Yeah, you know, I was looking at this earlier. You know, obviously they were the number one seed in the AFC last year, but they don't often look like it. You know, they out-muscle teams. They can win ugly. They win with Derrick Henry when he's healthy. I don't know what their passing game is going to look like anymore with that A.J. Brown. But honestly, those are concerns for their long-term picture and whether they can compete for that number one seed. It's not a concern against the Giants, because the Giants have so many things that they have to piece together and that have to go right for them to be competitive. They were not a good defensive team last year. They really haven't added much. You know, Thibodeau probably won't play. They lose James Bradbury out of the secondary. You know, their linebackers are three guys that no one's ever heard of. So, you know, they're not stopping Derrick Henry. I'd be shocked if they can do that. If he gets going, you know, he could have 200 and something yards. And on offense, you're counting on a lot. Is that offensive line going to hold up? Is Daniel Jones, you know, does he have weapons? Which ones are going to play? There's just too many questions for me to think they can go on the road and beat a, you know, if not an AFC power, maybe the second tier power in the first game. I think, you know, one thing both Shane and Dable have said is it's going to take a few weeks to figure out what the Giants are. You don't figure yourselves out when you're playing the Tennessee Titans in week one on the road. You figure that out, you know, when the schedule gets a little softer. So, you know, I'm not so sure the Giants don't lose their opener in a rout.
NFC East reporter Ralph Vacchiano here with us from Fox Sports. Who wins this division this year, Ralph?
You know, I wouldn't count out the Eagles. I think the Cowboys might be due. Dak Prescott's the best quarterback in the division, and that can carry you a long way. But, you know, the Eagles loaded up, and, you know, they have the number one rushing offense last year. They had a number 10 defense, I think. I think you add A.J. Brown to Jalen Hurts' repertoire, and, you know, he could be a very good quarterback. You know, they may need a little time to put things together, too, but I think they're a dark horse to, you know, be real competitive, not just in the division, but in the entire conference.
Make sure you check him out, at Ralph Vacchiano on Twitter. New job, NFC East reporter for Fox Sports. Ralph, once again, congratulations. Thanks for coming on for a few minutes.
Thanks, Zach. Anytime.
There you go. Ralph Vacchiano here with us, and that's first and goal. Another year in the books. I don't know why, Marco. I keep on saying this. Have the Giants are the last team that we previewed for this football season? That's a bad job. I will put that on my shoulders. I'm not going to blame it on Ryan, but I don't know why we made the Giants the last team.
Why? They've been a mess for 10 years.
I don't know why.
They deserve it. They're a mess.
Well, no. This is not, we don't rank them 1-32.
You know what? I get it. Doesn't matter. They deserve to be last. They've been awful for
so
a decade.
For the phrase, we saved the best for last around
No. Not here. Not this.
When we come on back, we talk about some quarterback situations in college football. Who should be starting and who should be going to the bench?
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Hope everyone had a great Labor Day weekend. Hickey, any big plans? What'd you do for Labor Day weekend other than stuff your face like you're doing right now with some pasta?
No, not pasta. Some like deconstructed stuffed pepper.
Oh, wow.
So branching out. Homemade by myself. No big deal.
New football season, new Hickey? Each and every night you have pasta here.
I want to change it up.
So you have a pepper? What are you eating?
Peppers. Red, yellow, orange peppers. All, you know, pre-cut. Some, you know, taco meat. Some Mexican corn. And some pulled apart corn tortillas.
Okay. You could have had me guess what you were eating tonight. I would have said pasta. If you would have said no, I would say... okay, this is April Fool's. It's pasta.
Anti-pasta.
Yeah. So how about that for Hot Take Hickey? I had a busy weekend. So Friday, I was doing the Maggie and Perloff show. Friday night, went to the Mets game with a few people from work. Then Saturday, I went to Mraz's house. That was a good old time. Saturday, went to Mraz's house. I had to go to Long Island before I had to grab a car, since I don't have a car in the city, and then go out to Pennsylvania for a wedding that I had on Sunday. But I watch all the college football games at Mraz's house. Always a good time when you go to Bob's by the Bay. And I'll be doing picks this year going up against Mraz in the DA show. So I wanted to try to pick the brain of Mraz and do some extensive scouting this weekend to try to see how he was feeling about this football season so I could fade Mraz and then just kick his ass. And then, boom, the next thing you know, we're at Bob's Bar for the DA remote, and he's going to be dressed up, pin the tail on the pig. That's going to be the payoff. If he loses, we're going to get to pin the tail on the pig and have a nice little family fun day, Memorial Day weekend. If I lose, I have to dress up as Matt Rhule and park cars. That's what they want me to do. So I do not want to lose, obviously. I'm playing to win. You play to win the game, and we got to take down Mraz. So always a great time when Mraz does host. Great food spread. I did try the hot dog in the straw, you know, using it as a straw in a beer. Absolutely disgusting. Now, I chugged the beer and won the chug off, but the aftertaste for about a full hour, it was just disgusting. It was gross. Sunday, went to a beautiful wedding. Congrats to my friends Ross and Emily. Wonderful affair in Media, Pennsylvania. And then Monday, how about this, Ryan? Monday, drive back from the wedding, go to the brunch first, and drive back for the wedding. I get back to my apartment at like 1:30 p.m. I go to the U.S. Open at 6 o'clock p.m. I didn't get home from the U.S. Open last night until 3:30 in the morning. The U.S. Open, I got to see two matches in the 16 players that were remaining. And the first match, the women's match, went three sets, which is the max it could go. And then the men's match went five sets. And they were tremendous matches. Now, at 1 a.m., I'm thinking, okay, it's time to go. I got to get on out of here. But my buddy wanted to stay. And Danielle Collins and Zabalenka was a great matchup, and she won, Zabalenka. And then the men's matchup, you had the 2014 U.S. Open champion, Marin Cilic, go up against Carlos Alcaraz, who, if you don't follow tennis that much, and I'm not this big tennis aficionado, I just like going to the U.S. Open, he's 19, he was insane. Some of the shots that he was hitting, Alcaraz was just unbelievable. It was a great match. It ended at, I think it was 2:23 in the morning or 2:24 in the morning. The longest end time at the U.S. Open was 2:26 a.m. Eastern time. So I almost saw history. But man, that was a long night. Did not get home until about 3:30 in the morning. I was not excited. I know that it could run late. But to basically 3 in the morning, I was not expecting that there, Hot Take Icky. Would you have bailed at 1-something a.m.?
No, I hate leaving any sporting event early.
So do I, but at that point.
Well, at that point, Christian, you're in.
The crowd was getting smaller and smaller and smaller.
I could imagine.
There was still, I would say, about 10,000 people when it ended, which is a lot of people.
For 2:30 in the morning on a work night? Absolutely.
Yeah, I was bummed. I thought I was going to get Nadal.
Rafa.
But they had him play in the earlier session.
Tiafoe in the early one. Yeah. What a great match. That would have been electric.
I saw you tweeting about the tennis. You were into it.
Oh, I love the U.S. I watched one tennis tournament a year, the U.S. Open. Maybe, you know, one or two Wimbledon. Or Australia. I'm not up in the morning for the Australian Open. So.
Okay. So always a good time. I had the Pat LaFrieda chicken sandwich, which was delicious, at the Pat LaFrieda stand. And it was a grilled chicken with aioli, and it was just on good bread, tremendous. And then I had the honeydew drink that they do serve there.
Speaking of which, do they cut booze sales off? You know, like baseball, it's a seventh inning. Football, it's like the third quarter. Is there anything with tennis? Like, it starts late.
My buddy got his last drink, got a drink at 1 in the morning.
Good for the U.S. Open.
I got up to go get a water at 1:30-ish, and I didn't see anything else open at that time. Now, there's water fountains there, so I was able to get a sip of some high-quality H2O.
Close down the...
Yeah.
To stay, you gotta keep them open. That's, you know, you gotta feed
Security
the crowd.
Security was strict though. We had good seats. Security, people were trying to get into like our section, and we weren't like right down low, but we were in the 100 section. There was a main section right in front of that. And still, when it's 2 in the morning and people are trying to move down, you'd think they just let people move down, but it was not the case. Security was very strict at the U.S. Open. Very strict.
The thing about just a lot of people at the bathroom at the same time, and everyone's going to come back, and it's going to be, you know, full crowd at 2 a.m.?
Yeah, now, it was a little bit annoying when I went to bathroom, and, you know, my friend went to bathroom too, and we would come back, and people would move into our seats, and you would say, yo, come on, this is my seat. But it was a little bit annoying when there was clearly seats available, they would not let you move. Now, I wasn't in the business of moving, but I saw other people were. I thought that was weird. You would think they would just funnel it all in and make it look good on television. That's just me.
You would think.
All right, real quickly, quick hitters on some college quarterbacks. Bo Nix, I'm out on Bo Nix. There's no way. I'm not saying he's not going to start for their next game, but I was out on Bo Nix before the season started, and still I was even surprised that it got that ugly against Georgia, 49-3. I thought they would keep it within 20 points. Now, that was JV up against the varsity, and that was the 11th best team in the country heading into the year, Ryan.
I thought we were going to get some Bo Magic. I was a sucker. Bo Magic enough to keep it within 17.
Yeah,
so like, you know.
Yeah, so he sucks.
Right. And so, yeah,
you,
I was not seeing
a sucker for
49-3.
Sean Clifford. I know he had that great drive at the end, had the pick six, which was abysmal for the Perry Ellis of college football. But Perry Ellis was to Kansas. I guess that's what Sean Clifford is to Penn State. He's been there for years. They had that the drive at the end. They win the game, but I did not think he was good. I would go to Drew Aller sooner rather than later if I'm the Nittany Lions. You, Mr. Penn State?
Future is now.
Oh, wow. You're already out on your quarterback.
When he was in the bathroom doing whatever he was doing, That was the happiest drive of the game. So second happiest drive of the game.
So seven times is not a charm for Sean Clifford.
Six. Give him over six times. All right. He's only a sixth year. He's only 24 years old.
J.J. McCarthy will inevitably be the starting quarterback for Michigan this year over Cade McNamara. You win the Big Ten championship and you're not in the starting quarterback outright. I know he started the game, but it's the competition's playing out through all these cupcakes. You would think that is Jim Harbaugh saying, I'm giving Cade one more chance to outplay J.J., but it's inevitable that it's going to be J.J.
And did not do exactly a great job of securing the job. That is Cade McNamara.
Bad pick early in that game. Not great. Up against Colorado
State.
Not
what you want to see.
And finally, how much longer will DJ Uiagalelei be the starting quarterback at Clemson? The line stunk. Wide receivers are bad. DJ did not play well in the game. That NC State and Wake Forest swing is going to be big for DJ. Because you could silence some of the doubters. But he did not, no matter what Dabo said, he did not do that after Georgia Tech. And Cade Klubnik is lurking and had a nice little drive up against the Yellow Jackets. How much longer for DJ?
I still think he's in there actually longer than expected.
Longer
Team Rundum's not very good in offense.
So to be determined is what you're saying. Defense. Defense is great. Offensively, whew, it's going to cost that team a college football playoff spot this year. Onside's offside. Next.